Hi, I'm Lucy and welcome to Lucy Talks. This podcast is all about finding meaning, self-belief and connection while embracing the seasons of your life. I believe that your happiness matters for the planet. When we are fulfilled and feeling self-confident, we are so much more able to take meaningful action, both in our lives and for social change. I want this podcast to dare you to reimagine your own life and the world we live in, and to feel empowered to make changes. All of this while using the lens of the changing seasons to allow for softness, kindness, and balance. I'm so excited to have you here. Let's get started. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Lucy Talks. I have tried to record this intro several times now, and this is going to be the one. I'm not going to stop. So let's just keep going. It's driving me mad doing this intro. Anyway, I hope you're well. I hope you're having a lovely day, whatever you're up to so far. It is a very, very grey day today, as it has been all week. Yesterday it was chucking it down, so just been a bit miserable, really. I'm really looking forward to spring. But yeah, we're still in the winter season of the podcast, so I guess it is fitting given that. But yeah, I'm really missing the sun, to be honest. It's just very bleak, very grey, and I'm not here for it. So we'll be very excited when spring comes. The flowers are starting to come up, to be fair, which is nice. Yeah, the weather is not particularly inspiring today, but that's okay. We're going to bring the inspiration ourselves. And in this week's episode, we're going to be talking all about the tyranny of the should, which I just love as a little statement. I think it's really quite fun. I like it a lot. It's from The Defining Decade by Meg J. And I'll go into all of that a bit later, but I just want to have a bit of a chit chat to start off with because I feel like I haven't really done this in a while. And it just, yeah, it's what I feel like doing today. So firstly, thank you so much to Zara for coming on last week's episode. I just think that Zara has such a great outlook on life, and clearly a lot of people think so too. Yeah, thank you for the love on that episode. And if you're a new listener coming from Zara's platforms, then hi, thank you so much, and I really hope you stick around. So I always start off these episodes with a little bit of gratitude. So the first thing that I'm grateful for this week is the little 10k run. I say little, I don't mean little. It felt quite long. The 10k run that I went on last Saturday morning. And I just like, I kind of said to myself, oh, you know, come on, this week we're going to push ourselves, like go a bit further. I normally do about 5k on my runs. I thought, I'm going to try and go a bit further. Like, let's do this. And then it came to the Saturday morning, and I was like, oh, I could just do a 5k, like, or I'll just do 8k. And then while I was on the run, I thought, no, come on, we're gonna go all the way, we're gonna do 10k, just keep going. Like, I just did an out and back route, so I just kind of forced myself to run the first 5k. And I was like, well, once you've done that, you're gonna have to run back, because I had a tutoring session I had to get back for. So I was like, well, I'm just going to run 5k outwards and I'll have to run it back. So that's what I did. And it was really lovely. And I kind of remembered that I really enjoy running when I'm like in the swing of it. The first 2-3k, I never really find that enjoyable. And when you're doing a 5k, that kind of just means that the majority of the run is not that enjoyable, which is, yeah, I mean, I do enjoy running. I don't want to give the wrong impression, but it's kind of like a bit of a struggle. And then once I'm back, I'm like, oh yeah, that was good. Like I've got the endorphins. That was really fun. But this time I actually really enjoyed it while I was out. And yeah, it was nice. It was a lovely day, which I'm jealous of now. But yeah, it was a lovely day. And just nice kind of fresh air going out into the countryside. Really, really nice. So that was good. My second little gratitude is little moments of cute conversation with strangers who come into the cafe, because I've been trying to like push myself while I'm working in the cafe to just strike up a few more conversations and just, you know, like ask people a bit more about their day, like what they're doing, where they're going. And I've done it a few times now and it's just always really lovely and people seem, yeah, just quite pleased to be asked about their day more than just the general, like, oh, how are you? So I asked a lady the other day, an older lady, and I was like, oh, what are you, like, where are you going? What are you doing for the rest of your afternoon? And she was like, oh, well, I'm actually off to a Spanish dancing castanet class. And I was like, blimey, that's so cool. Like, she was saying, I never thought I'd be doing this in my 70s, but here we are. And me and my friend go off to this castanet class with a lovely Spanish lady. And I thought, that is just, you know, I would never have ever found that out through looking at her if I hadn't asked. So that was really nice. And I also just, I'm really grateful for the coffee at work. It's really, really good. And you get, obviously, like if you're working there, you get a couple of coffees, like one or two in the day, depending on how long you're there for. And they're just always really good. I love the oat milk that they use. I love the cappuccino cups. It's just like, it's really nice. So that does make going into work more enjoyable because I know I'm going to get a nice drink. They also do a really good chai latte, which I love. But yeah, I'm enjoying work at the moment. I am working like 3-4 days a week at the cafe and then doing some tutoring and doing some swimming teaching. So a bit of everything, really. It's bit of a juggling act, to be honest, but I do quite enjoy the variety, and the social aspect and chatting to people in the cafe is definitely one of the perks of that. Otherwise I'd just be, you know, not really getting out there and chatting to many people, so I do really appreciate that at the moment. And my final little gratitude is just I'm just really grateful that I can send 3 Mother's Day cards out still. Like, I'm 22, and the older I get, the more I realize like how fortunate I am to be able to send out a card to my mum, obviously, and then a card to my nana and my nanny. And they're just such lovely, lovely grandparents. And I really am very grateful to still have, you know, I have four grandparents at the age of 22. And it's honestly just, I'm just reminded, like, when it's things like Mother's Day, that it is such a blessing. So yeah, I'm grateful for that. It's very, very lovely. Okay, before I start whirling up, let's carry on. So, as we know, we're in the winter season of the podcast. This is episode 6 of 8. And after this 8th episode, I'm going to have a little bit of a break, like about 3 weeks, I think, seeing as I missed one in the middle of this season. So yeah, we'll have a little 3-week break and then we'll be back with the spring season of the podcast, which I'm really excited for. Spring is probably my favourite season, spring and summer for sure. But yeah, I just love the possibility of spring. I really enjoy it. So I'm already excited for that, but let's stick to the winter theme for now. So to me, winter is all about rest and being intuitive, listening to yourself, going inwards rather than outwards for answers, kind of the reflection rather than the action, the being rather than the doing. And I loved getting to speak to Zara a little bit about that last week. But I think one of the things that really hold us back from listening to our gut, listening to our intuition, and acting on decisions that feel really authentic to us, acting on our gut instincts, I guess, I think one of the biggest barriers to this is the idea of should. And so that's what I'm going to speak about in today's episode. So hope you enjoy. Let's get into it. So like I was saying, I think that one of the biggest barriers to listening to our gut, listening to our intuition, is this idea of should. It comes from the external world, from societal pressures, from people in our lives. Maybe they're not doing it intentionally, but just have ideas of what our life should look like. Maybe it's coming from stereotypes of what someone in our demographic with our gender looks like and can do or should be for their career. Like, maybe it's coming from that side of things. But quite often as well, I think it can come from our own internalization of that and the fact that we kind of believe it. Like, if we didn't believe it and we still felt independent, still felt like we could do whatever we wanted and didn't feel like at all influenced by this external pressure, then it wouldn't be something that we would listen to. And so the fact that we've internalized all of this external pressure, I guess, the external shoulds, is really the crux of it here, I think. And that's what I guess I'm going to focus on, because we can't influence the outside world. We can't change how people see us necessarily, except through our actions. So I think that the key to like listening to your gut is almost like a mental game as well, because you need to then switch your mindset, identify which thoughts are your own and which thoughts are coming from the outside but that you've internalized. And this is so hard to do. Like, this is, I'm really not saying this is an easy thing to do at all, because it's almost like these external thoughts have come inside this big Trojan horse and they look like our thoughts. Like, you know the story of the Trojan horse where The Greek soldiers come concealed inside this Trojan horse so that they can enter Troy without arousing suspicion. And the Trojan horse is like offered as a gift to the city of Troy. And then when the Trojans like take it inside the gates, then all of the Greek soldiers inside come out and attack Troy from within. So I quite like this little metaphor for how the external world, external influences come in and we don't quite realise that they're not our own thoughts because they appear the same and they're within now. So there's like little difference between thoughts that we've conjured up ourselves and thoughts that we've had due to external influence. So it is a really hard thing to spot. And I hope that metaphor like helps to visualise that. So listening to our gut, this is like something that I probably speak about quite a lot on here. It's something that's thrown around and it's definitely something I try to live by. I don't know how successfully I do. And I think one of the biggest barriers to this, like I said, is the should. So this is things like, I should be able to do this. I should be reacting more calmly to this than I am. I should be making more money. I should have gone and done a medicine degree. I should be exercising every day. I should be more confident in this situation. I should be able to speak to this person without being nervous. Like, you know, all of these different things that we tell ourselves. And it's kind of a result of us not living up to this ideal version of ourselves that we have in our head. And it's a tricky one because, of course, like, you want to better yourself. And there's ways that we can, you know, work on our confidence, work on our mental health, work on our fitness, etc. And those are all really great goals. But I think the difference is if your motivation is coming from a place of like enoughness or coming from a place of lack. And if all of these shoulds are coming from a place of lack and a place of I'm not good enough as I am, I need to, you know, I need to be better in order to be like worthy of anything, then obviously that's not a great place for them to come from. So The Defining Decade is a great book by Meg J. I first read this when I was about 20, I think, just about 20, and I really loved it. It gave me quite a bit of direction, and I quite liked thinking about the bigger picture in some of the exercises in that. But one of the other things I took away from it, which is what I'm going to speak about now, is the tyranny of the should. I love how kind of dramatic this is. But essentially, Meg J says that goals direct us from the inside, but shoulds are paralysing judgments from the outside. So similar to what I was just saying. And I quite like the choice of the word paralysing there, because it really gets to that point of like, you have all of these shoulds coming from different directions and you're almost like being pulled in all directions at once. So you end up stood in the same place because you're not really making any progress in any particular direction. She also says that goals feel like authentic dreams, while shoulds feel like oppressive obligations. Shoulds set up a false dichotomy between either meeting an ideal or being a failure, between perfection or settling. The tyranny of the should even pits us against our own best interests. So again, this idea that it's not helpful to us that we have this idea of perfection, this ideal self, this version of ourselves that always does everything right, and that if we don't quite meet up to that, we are a failure, a complete failure, rather than this being a spectrum. And if we do 80%, it doesn't matter because we haven't reached that 100%. We're still a failure because we've got that deficit. Whereas if you were looking at it from a different mindset, you could think, you know what, I've done 80% of the work here. I've done 80% of what I wanted to do, and I'm going to choose to be happy with that. And I'm going to say that as like progress towards my goal, rather than, oh God, like, you can't do it. Just, you know, you're useless. I should be able to do this. All of these things. I also like the choice of the word false dichotomy, because it's not this simple. Like I just said, it's not either 100% or zero. There's a sliding scale, and it's not that you're either a good person or a bad person. It's not that you're either a success or a failure. There's always going to be mistakes. There's always going to be things that happen along the way that mean that maybe like push us back a little bit. But I think what matters is that we keep heading on and keep moving in the right direction. But I think the tyranny of the should is pulling us back in the wrong direction and making us feel a bit shit about ourselves if we're not quote unquote perfect. So as I discussed in episode 2 of the winter season, which was called We Need to Dream Bigger, I loved that episode, and I kind of just spoke about how dreams should be exciting. And if you don't feel really good about the idea of achieving some kind of goal, achieving some lifestyle, whatever it is, how do you think that you'll feel upon it happening? Probably not that great. So dreams should be really exciting, And this idea of like the progressive realization of a worthy ambition being the definition of success is something that I think is really important. And if we're always directing our energy towards goals that have been like predetermined for us by other people or by what we feel we should be doing, then we're never going to reach this point of like fulfillment or purpose or happiness. And I think that's such a shame, honestly. Like, I don't want to live my life and get to be old and get to have the opportunity to like look back on my life and think, you know what, I really wish I just did what I wanted to do rather than what everyone else wanted me to do. And not to be too morbid, but like when you get to that point, everyone in your life who, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to say that, that's too depressing. I was going to say like everyone in your life that is around now is not going to be around. And I don't know how helpful that is to think about. But my point is that like everything that you think is really important now, all of the little, you know, pressures, the small, tiny little things that you think matter now probably don't matter. Like, skip forward 60, 70 years if we're lucky. Like, we're not going to be thinking about that. There's going to be so many other things that we think are more important. And yeah, I just, like, if you think back to when you were, I don't know how old you are, but back to when you were 15, 16, all of those things that seemed really important at the time, I bet they're not that important now. Like for me, 15, 16, what was important to me was like maintaining this sense of a kind of semi cool person at school, like not being a complete weirdo. You know, I was quite aware of things like, oh, is my skirt the right length? Have I got the right number of stripes on my tie? Like all of these random little things that teenagers care about. What else did I care about? Just like, you know, friendship dramas and getting grades in school. Obviously that was important to me. I still think that is important, so that's why I'm not including it in the same category. Yeah, just, you know, like random little things that aren't actually important at all were, I guess, preoccupying my mind to some extent. If I can remember them now, they must have been. And I just think in like another 5 years, another 10, 20 years, the things that I think are important now are probably just going to have faded and will seem so insignificant. So while the shoulds seem really big and pressing, maybe they're not. Like, maybe we can offer that up as a counter thought to our brain. Maybe this isn't important. Maybe what is important is being directed from an internal place of like fulfillment and purpose and meaning, doing something that actually feels important to you. And maybe it's not, like, I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but maybe if we do choose to go down that path, it feels better. I don't know. Just offering up some counter suggestions to all of those little lovely little rambles that our brain goes on, saying that we're useless, saying that we're not meeting these standards, and, you know, combating that slightly, just offering up different thoughts and seeing what sticks. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is should statements as cognitive distortions, which is another little term I quite like. There's quite a lot of nice little terms in this episode. So in cognitive behavioural, is that how you say that word? Therapy, which CBT, which is like a type of therapy. These kinds of should statements are called cognitive distortions, which is basically a fancy way of saying that they are a faulty thinking pattern. So it's not necessarily a thinking pattern we should be listening to. If you had a machine that was, you know, offering out words of affirmation each day and it became faulty and it started offering up words of affirmation that were like, oh, you're useless, you can't do anything, you know, give up now, you're gonna think, hang on a minute, something wrong with this machine, I shouldn't be listening to this, it should be telling me things like, oh, you're enough, have a great day, etc. So should statements are negative thinking patterns, and they can often cause like fear and doubt in a person. They create this like binary, like Meg J said, the false dichotomy between the ideal and the failure, between perfection and settling. This is the same kind of thing. So it's creating this binary set of conditions for our life that either mean we are meeting them, therefore we're a success, or we're not, therefore we're a failure. And we can feel quite guilty about this. We can then feel shame as well. I know that Brené Brown does a really good TED talk on shame, which I think I have listened to, but a while ago, so I might go back and listen to that. But yeah, I think I can recommend that. I think I remember it being really good. Anyway, so these cognitive distortions are basically exaggerated thinking patterns. So it's not necessarily based on facts, it's based on your view of reality, and often might lead you to view things more negatively than they actually are. But they can have a great influence, even though they might not be true. It's like all of the fake news in the media, the misinformation. It doesn't have to be true to have a big impact on things. It doesn't need to be correct to have an emotional reaction, which is frustrating because that would be so much easier if it did. But yeah, it's like everyone falls into these cognitive distortions. It's not saying that your brain is broken, but it is something that we can combat and try to like work on strengthening the positive thought patterns rather than the negative thought patterns. And if we do like notice them popping up, just maybe observing them, taking a minute and thinking, is this actually me? Or is this just, you know, these should statements, is this coming from my view of how I should be acting in this situation? And if we engage too frequently in these negative thoughts, our mental health can take a hit. And personally, like, I definitely think this is something I still need to work on. It's really hard to then, especially when you are like in the midst of having negative thoughts about yourself, feeling like you're not enough, feeling like you should be doing more. It's hard to take yourself out of that and be like, no, you're doing great, you know, because it doesn't come naturally when you're thinking negatively. But rather than having that expectation within itself to think, nope, I need to be able to switch this up, I've actually found it more useful just to be like, okay, I'm just going to observe these thoughts. I'm going to try and detach from them and not see them as my own thoughts and just see them as like passing trains, like down a train track or like passing clouds. And they're not necessarily mine. I try not to identify with them too much, but it's definitely easier said than done. Like it's not a simple thing. But I guess the goal is to then be able to reframe and redirect your thoughts so they have less of an impact on your mood and behaviours and mental health. And the science does tell us that we have the power to change the way we think. Neuroplasticity is like a superpower. It's so cool. It's definitely something I want to do more research into because it's crazy. We can literally change the way our brains are wired. So we want to leave those shoulds behind. We want to put them in the bin. We don't need them. We want to say goodbye to those should statements that are faulty thinking patterns and say goodbye to all of those unrealistic expectations for ourselves so that we can actually feel all right about ourselves, feel happy, feel content. So I've got three strategies for doing this, which I'm going to go into next. And I hope that they're useful. I found these from a blog post about should statements, and I'll leave it linked down below if you want to read it. But I thought they were really good, so I'm going to talk you through them. Okay, so the first one is practicing gratitude instead of comparison. And I think this is why setting your own goals and dreams from your own feelings and own intuition is so important, which again is what I spoke about in episode 2. Because if you're genuinely acting from a place of purpose and an internal like drive to do what you want, then it's not going to matter what anyone else is doing. You're going to feel grateful for the progress that you're making or grateful for the experiences that you're having that are helping you to get there, rather than comparing yourself to other people's and thinking, oh, maybe I should be doing what she's doing over there. That looks pretty cool. Maybe I should be. You're going to be directed on your own path. And I think that is such like a power move. And a little reminder as well that you aren't entitled to anything. There's no rule book saying that if Sarah down the road has got a new car, I should be entitled to a new car as well. Like if she's got one, so that I should get a new car. Like I've not been thinking about this, but now that she's got a new car, I want a new car. We're not entitled to anything in life. And I think framing it in that way allows so much more room for gratitude because you think, okay, well, hang on a minute. If I'm not entitled to any of this and I've got water, like clean drinking water running out of my taps, I've got a roof over my head, I've got central heating, I've got, you know, friends and family and people that care about me, I've got a way to get to work without Sarah's new car down the road. Like, you know, you can start to frame things and see things in so much more like a positive light, so much more abundance. And I think this idea of, oh, she's got something, so I want it as well, is so linked with overconsumerism. And it's not necessarily our fault entirely, because, you know, there's so much marketing, so much advertising, and we kind of have so many things in our life that we don't really need. We just feel like we need it because we've seen some influencer have it, or we've seen, you know, a celebrity say that it's the best thing ever. So I guess what I'm saying here is, like, if you didn't feel entitled to anything, you might just see the car and think, that's awesome, like, good for you, Sarah. Do I actually want that? And then allowing yourself to question, do I need a new car? No, I don't need a new car. I've got a car already. Or nope, I don't need a new car. I don't need any car at all. I'm perfectly fine walking or cycling to work, you know? And I guess that's tying in with, like, yeah, overconsumerism in general, because it's a big problem for the planet. And so many of these things that we feel need to be fixed for the planet do come from, like, our mindset. And obviously, an individual can't do everything, but, you know, small little actions, small little steps to combat climate change, it's what we love. So that's the first thing, is this idea of practicing gratitude instead of comparison, feeling like, no, I'm not actually entitled to any of this, and I should be grateful for what I have, you know? So the second one is striving for more perspective and forgiveness. So there's a lot of expectations often for people around us. And how I see this is that, like I said at the start, we've internalized those voices from the outside. We've internalized the societal pressures, and they kind of seem like our own thoughts. But then the like double-edged sword is when we start to put those expectations on other people around us, and we think, I should have a really great, loving partner who's there for me 100% of the time, who never makes any mistakes and is just, you know, the best partner in the world. And we then start to put these expectations on people around us because we want to feel maybe a sense of control of that. We feel maybe, again, entitled to that. We feel like, oh, I should have that, and therefore if I don't, that's saying something about me. And then we can put those pressures on other people. I quite liked this little extract from the article, which says, the more you can be at peace with the idea that there is no predetermined way that things should work out, the more you can make peace with your past and feelings of uncertainty about the future, and therefore use your power to stay grounded in what is rather than what should be. So it's that gaining a bit of overall perspective on your life, trying not to put those expectations on other people, like unrealistic expectations for how they should react to something that you're telling them, or for how they should show up for you, how they should, like, always be doing all the work, like, I don't know, tidying the bedroom, or like being completely on time 100% of the time. You know, people make mistakes, and I guess I'm just like trying to bring a level of like the sliding scale. We don't want to let people walk all over us and be completely awful to us, but equally, we can't expect someone to be perfect, because no one is perfect. And just, you know, getting that bit of perspective, getting a bit of forgiveness for people, and a bit of patience as well, which is definitely overlooked. Like, how many times do you see someone on the train getting annoyed with someone else because they've like got in their way, or there's not enough space, or like, I don't know, something random that's probably not that deep in the long run, but people are very quick to have unrealistic expectations for other people. And the more you start to notice this, the more you see it. Like, it's one of those that once you've identified it, it shows up all the time, and I think it's quite interesting to observe. And the final one is to make peace with your ideal self. So when you feel like you should be a certain way, you're creating this, again, false dichotomy between your actual self and your ideal self. And there's a theory by Karen Horney, who is a psychologist, and she stated that you have this, you know, real self who you actually are, and this ideal self who you strive to be. And while it's important to, you know, strive for things you want and go and try and reach your potential, it's also important to recognize when this ideal self is holding you to like an unrealistic expectation, when your standards are too high, and when that's impacting your self-worth, because you always feel like a failure no matter what you do. So when crafting this idea of your ideal self, maybe just question, like, is this coming from me? Is this coming from a place of love and a place of wanting to better yourself because you believe you can do it and because you believe that you're worth, like, achieving these goals and you can prove to yourself that you're capable? Or is it coming from a sense of, okay, if I don't show up to my ideal self, then everyone else is going to notice that I am a failure, and then people aren't going to like me anymore, and then, you know, all of these negative thinking patterns that don't help us. What I'm saying is, like, we have a choice over who this ideal self is. And something that I quite liked is a phrasing from a YouTuber that I've found recently. I'm trying to remember her name. Let me try and find her channel. Yeah, she's called Dora. Her channel is Well With Dora. And she had this video about, like, being your favorite self rather than your best self or your ideal self. And I quite like that, like, being your favorite self. What does your favorite self look like to you, rather than trying to meet this expectation for what everyone else's idea of your ideal self should look like? Maybe it's actually having a day off rather than working yourself to the bone. Maybe it's showing a bit of compassion to yourself if you miss a deadline, or if you're a little bit late to something, or, you know, it's a one-off and you've accidentally forgotten about this meeting that you had. Does your ideal self never ever miss a deadline ever, or do they hardly ever miss a deadline? And if they do, like, handle it well with accountability and integrity and kindness towards yourself rather than beating yourself up? And I guess it all comes down to this idea that we need to accept that there is room to grow, but we don't need to judge ourselves for where we're at now. Like, how can we ever be the person that we want to be in the future right now? Because the future's not there yet. Like, we're in the right now, so we shouldn't be judging ourselves for where we are at. It's the same as, like, if we're to look back at our past self, are you going to judge them for not being where you are now? Like, no, because they haven't had the years of time to get to where you are now. They haven't had the opportunity to. You have, and you've done your best and you've got to where you are now. So there's no point judging yourself for the stage that you're at. And yeah, just, like, having this idea of possibility and potential is quite exciting. We want to set goals that feel exciting to us, like I was saying, but we don't want to be feeling really harsh towards ourselves, judging ourselves, and yeah, having this, like, perfectionist ideology. Another thing that I've been realizing quite recently is how much perfectionist tendencies hold me back. It's kind of along the same lines. Like, it's not helpful to have this 100% perfect ideal. And it means that whenever I do something not quite right, I have, like, an emotional reaction to it and I feel, oh, should be able to do this. And it's, again, the same stuff. Like, we don't want to be beating ourselves up for not meeting unrealistic expectations, because the whole point of an unrealistic expectation is that it's unrealistic. You can't actually achieve it. And so, yeah, something that I'm trying to work on is, like, being patient, letting things happen. You know, things take time, and it's better to be, like, slow and steady, working towards something that you feel is good rather than rushing towards something that you feel you should be doing. Okay, that is a much longer episode than I intended or planned, so I'm glad that I managed to speak about this for as long as I did. I really hope you've enjoyed it, and I am feeling a little bit disconnected from the podcast at the moment, I can't lie, but this one was good, and I'm glad that I managed to find the time to do it. Life is honestly really busy at the moment. I'm enjoying everything that I'm doing, but I'm definitely kind of juggling a lot of different things. I've got 3 jobs at the moment. I'm trying to do the YouTube videos, I'm trying to do the podcast, like, spending time with my girlfriend, spending time with my family, and, like, trying to go up and see them and things like that. It's just all quite a lot. So I'm glad that I've managed to get this podcast out, and it is a priority for me. So I want to make sure that I'm completing this season. But again, I don't want to hold myself to this ideal self. And that's why I took a break between the 4th and 5th episode, because I honestly didn't have the time. And I know that people always say that, and you can probably make the time, but yeah, it's priorities, isn't it? So all this to say that it's something that I'm actively practicing. I want to basically add in a little bit of humanity at the end because it's hard and I don't want to be sat here being like, you know, just get over it, just don't listen to any of these external pressures, just live your life how you want to live your life. And that is definitely the goal, but it's hard, you know, and things take time. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day, whatever you're up to, and I hope you join me again next week for another episode of Lucy Talks. Lots of love. Bye.